T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are live at the Joe Torre Save at Home Foundation Annual Golf and Tennis Classic here at beautiful Sleepy Hollows Country Club. And joining us right now, the man himself, the Hall of Famer, the great Joe Torre. Joe, always a pleasure, and I appreciate when you invite us here. We always have a great time. How you been?
Well, I was great until the middle of the night when I, you know, something disagreed with me stomach-wise, and I had some kind of virus or a flu or something, but I'm feeling better, so and that's the good news. And I'm awfully happy I got a chance to talk to you, because you guys have done a great job, you know, coming every year and really being able for us to, allowing us to talk about what we do and you know, how many kids we affect. So I appreciate that, Evan.
Now, we really appreciate it, and I've heard this before, drink a lot of fluids. That's very, very important. Drink a lot of fluids, a lot of water. All right, good. Tell us about, because it's been 16 years now. I mean, this is such a great cause that you and your wife have put together. So tell us about the Safe at Home Foundation.
Well, again, you know, I came from a home where my dad was abusing my mom, and you know, when we first started back when, you know, when we had our first event in the November of that year, you know, people would say, oh, this is a woman's issue. And I don't think enough people understand that, you know, if there's a mom and a dad or that there are children involved and how they're affected by it. I mean, there are 60% are exposed to violence or trauma, which is really, really a frightening number. But, you know, we started our foundation because I felt free to talk about it after going through counseling myself back in 95. And it's been very satisfying for us. You know, I've learned a lot, aside, obviously, of what was going on in my home. And, you know, right now we have 16 programs, and we're in the process of opening a middle school in New Jersey for our 17th, you know, Margaret's Place. So, you know, we're thrilled to be able to let people know what we do and how many kids we touch. You know, we've had better than 85,000 kids come through our program, which we know it works, and we know they're better for it. So I appreciate this exposure.
Yeah, and it's great what you're doing. And for anyone listening, you could always check out joetorre.org to learn more. Can you believe it's been 20 years since you managed maybe the greatest baseball team ever assembled?
You know, it's like being on a subway platform, you know, and the trains go by. And, you know, of course, the older you get, you know, you realize how quickly things go by, and it's like a snap of the fingers. But no, 20 years, I know. And, you know, the great part about it, Evan, is you still remain close to the players. And I'm looking forward to what's going on in Yankee Stadium in the middle of August. And, you know, just again to reunite with a group that was a part of a very special ball club, you know, winning 114 games, but even better than that, going on to win the World Series was something we felt we needed to do to have anybody notice what we've done.
Sure.
But I've been blessed with a great group of guys. They never got tired of winning. They never got tired of working hard, and they always felt they had something to prove to themselves. And it's still really fresh in my mind, you know, how special those guys were.
It's almost impossible to think they could ever be a team as good as that. The Mariners tried, but we know what happened then. You guys took care of them in the ALCS. And then, you know, when you don't win at all, like you said, you know, that accomplishment of the regular season, while still great, it kind of goes away. I think that's part of what makes the 98 team so amazing. You win the 114 games, great, and then you go out and you win the whole thing, and you win the World Series, and you seal the deal.
Yeah, it got a little sketchy in Cleveland. You know, when we fell behind, but Duque pulled us out, and Boomer pitched well, and then Coney back home. So, you know, it was a special group, and in all fairness to Seattle in 2001, you know, with 9/11 and everything happening, you know, we were in a different place, our club, you know, coming back, you know, down 2 to Oakland in their ballpark, and then, you know, beating the Seattle club that was so good.
You know, we had Tony La Russa on earlier, and we were talking about how great this format is, at least in my opinion, how great it is, that if you don't win the division, you don't just get a wild card, go right to the playoffs, you have to play this one-game playoff. Because I think back to that race you guys had with Boston in 2005, in which you guys finished tied, and nobody really remembers. Because, all right, the loser gets the wild card. It wasn't a big deal. To think about how different you guys would have approached that series if, hey, you win the division, you're in, you don't, you're in a one-game playoff. I think that year jumps out at me is why this format is so great, that this race matters at such a high level, because you don't want to be in that one-game playoff, right?
I agree 100%. You know, there was no really, you know, big disadvantage to being a wild-card team. So you could save up your players. You don't have to win a particular game because you're in. And I never thought it was fair, especially since baseball, you know, the team that finished first for 100 years has always been the one you had to finish first, in other words, to move on. And the, you know, the wild card team, I didn't think had enough of a disadvantage. And adding that second wild card, and, you know, when you look at that game 7 right out of the box, to have to win one game to get and move on to the division series, I think it's certainly a lot fairer in that regard, and gives a lot more credibility to winning the division.
No doubt. Hey, you know, one thing Tony said, and he wanted me to bring this up to you as a compliment, is that we're in a world now where everybody strikes out, and it seems with two strikes, there's no approach. Just go swing for the fences. And he complimented you as one of the great two-strike hitters. You'll see the approach changed. How do we get players to be more like you so that we don't have the constant strikeouts, because there's just so many? And I think a part of it is the approach that guys have. They're not afraid of striking out.
Well, what bothers me is that there's a lot of strategy involved, and, you know, the managers get hamstrung a little bit when, you know, if there's a man at second base, nobody out, or a man at third base, less than two out, and they're, and the opposition, in essence, is giving you a run. You know,
right.
Just put the ball in play pretty much on the ground, and, you know, and we're, you know, we'll get an out, but you can score a run. And I think we're sort of losing a touch with this. You know, we're home runs are exciting. Sure they are. But, you know, along with home runs, you get walks and strikeouts, and there's not a lot of action on the field. I think our game is exciting. I mean, we had a great All-Star game. It was weird, 10 home runs, and certainly was exciting because, you know, the lead changed hands late in the game and all that stuff. But, you know, we for years, you know, going first to third, being able to move a runner, for a manager to, you know, be able to 3-2 move the runner and hit and run, and the only way that works is if you have a man at the plate that's going to put the ball in play. So, you know, I think we've lost a good portion of what we, you know, what we should be doing as far as our game. And again, saying that, we probably have the most talented, you know, baseball players that we've ever had. I mean, you stand next to these guys, they're big and strong, and they're great, very athletic. And, you know, I'd like to see more, you know, balls in play so we can get more guys on the bases and then excite the fans a little bit more.
I agree with you. How do you change that, though? Is there a way to change that?
Well, I think it's just a mindset. We've fallen in, and you know, I think analytics and you know, I don't want to be the old fuddy-duddy, you know, saying I like the way it used to be. You can't ignore statistics that give you, you know, a little bit of an advantage or a little more knowledge. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think we still need to, you know, talk about the strategy of winning a game and all the little nuances that, you know, you appreciate in the game that helps you win a ball game. I remember I used to tell my players, I said, you know, there are 25 of you, and every single one of you are going to be in a position to help us win a game. And, you know, that's important because when you look, I know we have 162 of them, but, you know, you win a pennant by one game or you win a game by one run. So, you know, I think getting the guy to second base and third base are important, and it's really more in, I think, education as far as playing the game, and you play it to win. I mean, fans like to go out and see their team win, and when you do little things, the game is a lot, you know, I think it has a lot more credibility.
Oh, I'm with you. We're talking to the Hall of Famer, Joe Torre. We're at his golf outing, the Save at Home Foundation Annual Golf and Tennis Classic. We've seen so many rookie managers this year. You know, Alex Cora's done a great job. Aaron Boone has had his challenges, but overall has done a great job. For you, that first experience is something that we'll probably never see again because you were a player manager. What was that experience like as such a young man managing the game that you had played so long?
Well, yeah, and you know, not too many guys are going to say, "All right, you know, here's the lineup card, make it out." You know, I was a player, 36 years old for the Mets, and all of a sudden they named me manager, and you know, really, in all fairness, the player manager thing lasted for a couple of weeks because we knew, unfortunately, that we were going to have to trade Tom Seaver. And it was a matter of not knowing where we were trading him to or for how many players. So they just left me on the roster until, you know, we made that deal. And then actually it was when Joel Young, part of the Cincinnati deal for Tom, and when he showed up, that's when I, you know, took myself off the roster. But, you know, I realized one thing. You know, managing, even though you felt you could do it and you wanted the challenge, you didn't realize how much time was involved off the field that, you know, you needed to do, basically, you know, for media and just a lot of work that you didn't think about as a player.
Sure. Obviously, your greatest success was managing the Yankees, but did you prefer one league over the other, getting to experience managing the National League and the American League?
Well, I was happy I had the opportunity to manage in the National League because, you know, again, managing isn't easy, but, you know, when you have the, and I had this debate a little bit with Jimmy Leland, who's there today, you know, he feels the American League is tougher because, you know, you really have to make decisions on when to take the pitcher out. A lot of times in the National League, you know, when he comes up to hit, it pretty much the decision is made for you, especially when you're behind in the game. But I just felt it was a little less complicated in the American League because you didn't have to, you know, promote a run scoring before you get to the pitcher spot in the lineup. And, you know, that's why I think that for the longest time, the National League, you know, you did more running, more hitting and running because you tried to produce that run before the bottom of the order got up. So, but the American League, you know, first of all, when I started managing the Yankees, you know, we didn't have the interleague play at that time. And, I had to familiarize myself with players from other teams in a big hurry because, you know, I'm walking out. I remember one time in Minnesota to talk to my pitcher about a certain situation, and I'm not real sure about this hitter as far as, you know, what I really wanted to do at that point in time. So there was a lot more to learn. That's a little, different today within the league every day. You know, you get to see the teams a little maybe less often, but
yeah,
more often.
Yeah, it's true. We're talking to Joe Torre. We saw the other day Gary Sanchez have a tough day in which, you know, there was lack of hustle a few times. As a manager, how do you handle something like that? Because I know a lot of fans want the manager to just rip the player publicly and say, it's unacceptable, it's this, it's that, I'm going to bench him. But it's a tough spot. How, as a guy who did it for so long, how do you handle a lack of hustle situation with a player?
Well, you know, and I think, in all fairness, he went on the disabled list again, so he probably had some issues physically. But, you know, I think it's important for the players in that clubhouse, Evan, to know that in spite of your ability or how much money you're making, that everybody has to do the same thing.
Right.
And that was important to me. I the players become accountable to each other. And, you know, it's something I just felt was very important. If you're going to talk about being a team, everybody pretty much has to be on the same level. And I always looked at it that way. And, again, you have to have the players who understand it and go along with it. And I did have that with New York, with the Yankees.
We're talking to the great show, Torre. Do you think the DH will stay separate for a while, or do you think we're headed towards that day where we get the universal DH in both leagues?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I cringe a lot of times when I watch these, you know, National League or the American League, I should say, pitchers run the bases. Chin-Ming Wong comes to mind for me when, you know, it was after I had gone already, but you know, he's running the bases, and all of a sudden, you know, it affected his career. It's just the issue I have is the pitchers in the American League who don't do that a whole lot. You know, the National League is a little easier because, you know, they make it a part of their daily ritual, you know, batting practice and stuff. I'm sure they're doing more of that now because you play every day in the league. But it's something that we continue to talk about. We can't really reach a place that we're in agreement that we'll go one way or the other. You know, I don't know the answer to it. I don't know where we're going to wind up because, as I say, it's not on the back burner. It's constantly being talked about, but we just haven't been able to, you know, come to an understanding on what, you know, what we think is best for the game.
Now, I admit I'm very biased on the subject. I like it the way it is. I like that the National League lets the pitcher hit. I respect the DH in the American League. I have no problem. But here's my question, because it's always brought up that, hey, the National League is one of the only leagues in sports where the pitcher hits. So my question is, well, why? Do you think it would be a good idea for pitchers to have more experience hitting at the lower level so that they, when they are in the major leagues, American League or National League, interleague play or not, they have that experience, so it's not awkward when they're running the bases or awkward when they're at the plate. So is that something that would be considered to help these guys just get better at hitting and running?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the more you do it, obviously, the more comfortable you're going to be. You're never going to be totally comfortable. You know, you watch a lot of these pitchers hit. You know, back in my day, I remember Sandy Koufax. He said, well, let me try it left-handed. Oh, let me try it right-handed, you know, and Bob Buell with the old Milwaukee Braves was the same way. But, you know, every once in a while it surprises you. I think the mystery of it is fun to watch. I think there's greater strategy in the National League because a lot of times you manage to try to run the other manager out of players because you don't have that issue in the American League. And I think that's evidenced by the number of extra men that are on the bench because we've gone to so many pitchers now. But, you know, I think some minor leagues have had, you know, pitchers hit. You know, it's not something that you see normally in the minor league level, but certainly the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to be with it.
We're talking to Joe Torre, and I always appreciate you inviting us to this event. It's always a great time, and it's obviously for such a great cause. So thank you very much. I hope you feel better. Obviously, you're drinking the fluids. And as always, I thank you so much for having us out here. It really is a great honor.
Evan, again, thank you so much for your presence because it really means a lot. And we know how many people listen to FAN. So
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it, man.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. The great Joe Torre, who's battling, probably a little cold right now, but his event is going on strong. They're teeing off right now. They're playing golf. The weather's actually beautiful. The sky's opened up for Joe, and he deserves it. And remember, his foundation has done so much good over the last 16 years, the Safe at Home Foundation. You can check out the website for more info at joetorre.org.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.